everyone, and welcome back to the Run Strong podcast with me, Gary House. It's January the 10th today, Friday, and this is a bid to keep a promise to myself in the new year that I would make the podcast more regular. So it is a solo episode today. With the solo episodes, there's not likely to be much editing, I'm afraid, sorry, when I have guests on, which we've got some planned in the future. I will put a lot more effort and make it cleaner for them. Otherwise, I'd be doing them a bit of disservice. But yeah, so if the dog happens to bark or if the postman comes in again, I know some of you have been asking for the postman, but he's a bit erratic with his timings. That might just happen along the way. I do regular Q&As on Instagram, and lots of the questions always evolve around either races that I've done or races that I will be doing in the future, which usually I find, well, I just think that people would think that is boring, but it seems like I do get a lot of questions about that. So it gave me the inspiration for this podcast. I'll try and keep it kind of neat and short, but it's a little bit of a review, a look back at last year. So it's going to help me as well, I think. With these days, I've got my training diary that I fill out for my own coach, Martin Cox, VO2 Max. So we just have just an online written training diary. And a lot of it is based on effort and things. It's similar to the way I work with my lot. But ours, I can look back through that training session by training session. And then with Strava as well. I know I like to take the piss out of Strava and all the Strava wankers out there. But in reality, I really like looking back at Strava. It gives you really easy statistics. You can deep dive into a bit deeper if you want to. But the simple stuff like hours trained, mileage, elevation, the simple stuff is there right in front of you. Also gives me, you know, easy access to look at a race. Some races you forget about. Like last year, we started off in January. I finished the year with a bit of sickness, illness, actually. So it was going into January, bit sluggish, I guess. And with the aim, the main aim of Barna Marathon. Sucre or Sucre. Again, I keep butchering names. I shouldn't attempt them. But yeah, Barna Marathon is apparently what the locals call them. But we started the year with Tatton 10K. Which is, it's only 30 minutes from me. It was pretty much put down a time. It was flat. The only problem is I ran it, I was solo running it from the start in second place, actually. Yeah, one guy went off, and it was as the TRS lads would say up in Scotland, which I doubt any of them listen, but it was brutal headwind, and it was brutal. I turned a corner at one, she like ran around a cone, I don't usually often remember little races like this, but yeah, the headwind just hit me. And that race was 36 minutes, 36:40, I think, which is outside of my PB. I'm not a 10K runner. I think my PB is 35:30. I've done one flat one, I think. Completely flat anyway, and that was 35:30. This was 36:40, 170 metres of elevation gain. So, you know, it was a good test, good run out. But that was just laying a marker down for the training ahead, more or less. Coy de Brenin half came a few weeks later, at the end of January, I think. Saturday the 19th of January we've got here. And I didn't mention this to Matt Ward at the time, but on Strava it says 20.9 kilometres, and tell me if I'm wrong, but a half marathon is 21 kilometres, so I should have sent an email to Matt pretty soon after that race. When I see him next, I might call him up on it. But yeah, that was, again, I ran that really well, for me anyway. There's too much, it's lovely trails. Those of you that are lucky enough to visit Mid Wales and Coed de Brenin, the centre itself, whether it's mountain biking or running, just get there. The shop itself, which is hosted by Matt. Matt runs the show at the shop, but there's a good team of them there. There's Jude and all the gang in the shop. Whether it's Solomon you have to or not, I would urge you to go down and chat to them just about trail running, local trails, the shoes that they have. They're really open about talking and friendly with it. There's no pressure to try on the shoes, but you can try them on, go for a run on them. They've got a kilometre or so course that you can just go and run. Sounds like a bit of a sponsored advert for them now, doesn't it? But no, they've looked after Run Strong and myself and our members for many years now at the races. And I'm always encouraging beginners that are getting into trail to get down there. Yeah, I'll have to try and get Matt on the podcast maybe. 19th of January, we had lots of our Run Strong Club members there too. 1:34:49, which was a PB on that course. There's about 730 metres of gain if you look at Strava. God knows what it actually is. but half of it is on, I'd say, technical. Well, it's not technical, but fun trails. It's all runnable. The other half is fast, either up or fast down on fire trail, like Forest Access Road. So there's a bit of everything. There's some steep ups, some steep downs. Really fun race to do. And again, it's a really good marker at the beginning of the year. It sells out. It's now a week away from the next one. It sold out ages ago. But yeah, there'll be lots of our members down there again next weekend, I think. That was a good run for me, I think. 1:34:49. I think that put me just outside the top five or something, but definitely in the top 10, which, I mean, it's not fast. It's nowhere near fast, but it gave me a good kind of feeling for how I was at that time. Remember, everything, the training around that was, I was on the roads mainly. I was living in a different place, not far from here, but I would have to drive. It's really weird. Whereas now I could run out onto the trail. I was having to drive 20 minutes to run on some flat road, which seemed ridiculous. But the goal was Barcelona Marathon. Barcelona Marathon being March the 10th. So I didn't have much too much time to play with. So that's January, February, 8 weeks or so, another 2 weeks, like 10 weeks. I think I had about 11 weeks worth of training. And that's going to be something I touch on later in the podcast, I think. 11 weeks, like we knew we were pushing it, 10 weeks bare minimum. I know Martin would definitely want 16 weeks with me to get a PB and do really well. But that's what we were working with. The next race was actually, the next race was the most local half marathon to me, which is Wrexham. Wrexham half. And that is flat. I think it was about 100 metres elevation. But yeah, it comes up one lane near the end and it's flat for all intents and purposes. That time for me was 1:17:20, which was a PB. I was happy with that. Again, conditions were 90% PB, I'd say. Definitely for me, it was bright and sunny but cold. The only kind of issue was a bit of like shitty stuff across some of the roads, a bit of a wind, crosswind at one point. But yeah, 1:17:22 is really good for me. I'm not a marathon runner. Well, I haven't been in the past, really, not a half marathon runner. So any kind of improvement on the flat, I'll take that. The training kind of was in between January and March. I can only tell you this by obviously looking back. We kind of work, I think Martin kind of works in hours trained as well. I was hitting 10, 11, up to 12 hours of training per week. Pretty specific sessions for marathon. So yeah, that was quite going along okay. I don't think I'd had any injury problems up to then. No. Did become a little bit kind of laboured towards the end of the marathon training. So the marathon was meant to be, well, not meant to be, it was on March the 10th. Around 2 weeks before it, I picked up an injury, a stupid injury. I was just in a car for too long. I was going down to South Wales to watched the rugby, drove all the way down to Cardiff. I was just in the car too long over the weekend, and then got out, I think, got back on the Sunday, tried to do a session, and it was a toughish session, didn't warm up necessarily, you know, when you're just not feeling it. But then I tried to push it, ended up just, either like, it was kind of high hamstring, a bit of a struggle. It probably would have been okay if I'd have got to my physio soon enough, but I didn't, in short, I didn't really accept that I was injured at first. And then the week before it, kind of knew I had an injury a bit late then. I think I did go to see, like, I'm with, see Duncan at Athlete Matters in Manchester. So I travelled there once, I think. But yeah, again, if anyone needs any treatment and they're within a couple of hours of Manchester, check out Athlete Matters, any of the therapists there. Because they've not failed to get me on a start line yet. I rarely need more than one or two sessions to fix stuff there. But anyway, the week before Barcelona Marathon, it was a definite injury, if I'm honest. And then I've spoke about this in a previous podcast, I think. I've got this weird, I've just useless with keys. I lost a car key. I had to run 13 miles back home, this kind of thing, because I'd locked myself out of a car on the Thursday night. Then on the Saturday, I did the whole tourist kind of thing with Charlotte, my missus, in Barcelona. I think I looked in the evening and I'd done like almost 28,000 steps or something, which, you know, it's a bit stupid the day before a marathon. Everything was going well for me. I won't kind of go too much into the marathon. There was nothing wrong with the organisation. Weather was perfect. Not too hot. Warmed up a little bit. But yeah, I was on for it's probably sub 2:44 until the last, 5K. 2:45 was still on. And it ended up being, 2:46 or 2:47. I'm looking back, 2:47. But it did measure long, that one. I don't know if everyone else measured long, but yeah, 42.8 kilometres was 2:47. That's my time, obviously. But in my head, I knew I was in 2:45 or below shape. It was just definitely the last kilometre, just my arse tightened up more than a few police chases when I was a kid. Honestly, Jesus Christ, I just couldn't run. The effort was there. My stride shortened and I couldn't keep the speed. And it was a bit disappointing because I didn't go into the pain cave, which people would call it. I'd set myself up well with 10K to go, pushed on a little bit, but then as it started to tighten up and just wouldn't work, I didn't get that fight at the end, didn't get that struggle. But anyway, Barcelona Marathon, that was March 10th, 10 to 12 weeks worth of training. I was kind of happy with it, 2:47. It was a very small PB, I think. I'm not 100% sure. I've only done two flat marathons. I've done two flat marathons in the last 2 years. The previous one before that was over 10 years before that. In the back of my mind, for May, the Dragon's Back race, 5 days across rails. Done a whole other podcast on that one and what happened there. But with that looming in May, some people might think it a bit daft to be running a marathon in March, March the 10th. But the Dragon's Back, the truth is, it's still a running race. Yes, day one is pretty technical in places. Day two, technical. But the majority of that is a trail run. And people might try and call me out on that. But but I don't think you will convince me otherwise on that one. That is, at the front end, it's definitely a runner's race, the Dragon's Back. Especially once you get into day three and day four, definitely a runner's race. Anyway, we had Gold Rush in between the marathon and May, but we obviously also had... we had the injury to kind of negotiate, which wasn't ideal. The only good thing was that I'm obviously going into Dragon's Back training now, so I wasn't going into another marathon block or anything like that. I'd gone from Barcelona Marathon 247 or whatever that was. Right now I'm going to focus on the mountains. So had some treatment. That kind of, it shifted really quick actually, annoyingly. If that marathon was probably a week after, I'd have definitely been able to sort it. But it didn't get much worse after the race. It just needed a bit of treatment. Then I was back up and training. 2 weeks later, I was putting in longer efforts. So the training time from March 25th goes up to 15 hours, 19 hours, 15 hours, 20 hours. So you can kind of get the feeling for that. These are getting into the hiking territory now. The theory was a good block of hiking is what I needed for the elevation. So looking back, April, we had a big weekend, 6 hours and 5 hours. There was 2,000 again, elevation-wise. So that's like 5,000 metres in a weekend in total. Following week, 20 hours. Again, we were trying to put some big blocks together. We were looking at kind of 5,000 to 6,000 meters a week here. So everything was, in my head, going well. It was building to May 20th. Monday, May the 20th was day one of the Dragon's Back. Again, in hindsight, bit of a common theme for last year, I didn't give myself enough time. I wasn't too specific with the racing. There was nothing too wrong with running the marathon first, but I needed a bigger block of training for that to get the best out of myself. And then in between, I probably needed a bigger block as well. So maybe it was just the timing of me picking that marathon. But like I say, I won't go too much into the Dragon's Back because I've done a whole other podcast on that. My thoughts haven't changed on it. The only thought that has changed with time, I'm thinking, oh, I'd like to go back to that one because there's definitely hours and hours left on the table there. But if you haven't listened to that podcast, I'd just say go back, listen to that. It's quite good. I learned a lot from that race and I'm still learning from that race now, today in January, the year after. Yeah, so I learned a lot from that race for different reasons. Started off with a good start and kind of ended up with some lessons learned. Bit of a break from then. So that finished last week in May and I was left with a pretty... it was just a horrible injury. It needed more treatment. The treatment caused another injury and it was just time. And I got back running within 2 weeks, but it was a very slow progress then. So we were looking at the next race was actually in Courmayeur, Grand Trail Courmayeur, which I was entered into the, I think it's 105K, something like 7,000 metres of climb. I'm not 100% sure. I'd have to check. It was July 13th, was Grand Trail Courmayeur, and that was packaged up with a bit of a family holiday. So I didn't have any training to speak of for this. It was just getting back to being injury free and then trying to build up some training. So to try and take on 105 kilometres with like 7,000 plus metres of climb, you would think is a bit daft. But you don't get many opportunities to run in mountains like that, up and around Mont Blanc and the area. There was no way, if I was injury free, there was no way I wasn't going to have a go. The only thing I need to think about was extraction points, because you've still got to respect where you're running. And I was prepared for that. Luckily for me, the route does around a 70 kilometer kind of loop. You end up back at Courmayeur and then you head off for another kind of 35K loop. So in my head, there was definitely an extraction point at around 35K or 30K or something that I could have got out of. And then again at Courmayeur, I had a brilliant day actually, apart from I turned up at the start line without my water bottles. Like, there's one for you. The kit check was it the day before? The day before. Always makes you laugh that. Yeah, we'll do a kit check 24 hours before, go home and then bring it all back. I did it in someone else's blog, thought it was a good idea. I'd left my the I'd left the water bottles in the fridge overnight and just left them, went to the start line without them. Luckily, we were sharing a house with our friends, Adam and Laura. Adam had been ringing me saying that I'd left them. He couldn't leave because he had a baby with him. But yeah, luckily, Charlotte nipped back, got back to the start line with my bottles, and I was able to head off into the fucking Alps with at least some water. But yeah, that day was great. I started right at the back, thought I'd just chill out, see what happens. Probably a bit of a mistake because then I was just getting stabbed in the Achilles by poles for the first couple of hours. I could hike pain-free, so I should have just started a bit closer to the front maybe. Ran with a few Brits, which was good, had a bit of a chat. Found myself in kind of, I only know now, between like 12th and 15th place, and it felt easy for one, for kind of, well, I kept it easy. It was only the elevation over 2,500 metres to 3,000 metres and above for a period of time that gave me a bit of altitude sickness, I think. It wasn't too bad, but it slowed me. It slowed my progress, and that's the first time I've experienced that. Again, brilliant experience to learn from, because the heat, which I was a little bit scared of, was okay. I managed that great. Down in the valley, it was roasting, like people were burning up, but I seemed to have managed that okay. But then the amount of time that you spend at altitude got to me more than if you were just going up and down and up and down, which I've done in the past. So yeah, if I was to do a race like that again, which I'm hoping to do this year, I need to either acclimatise myself or do something about it. Yeah, acclimatisation is the only thing, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I stuck a video up of that. I was doing some filming on my GoPro, just having fun. It got a little bit tougher, obviously, as the day went on. It was I managed to get to about 60k, kind of unscathed, as much as you can do by running that. Still, I think I was just 12th or 15th or something. Didn't have a clue at the time. Got told this afterwards. So it gave, in hindsight, it gave me a good bit of a boost because I'd had no real training leading up to that, just a bit of hiking off the back of Dragon's Back. I had had a couple of weeks, solid couple of weeks, but nothing that I should have prepared me for this. And I got to about 60k, 60, just over that. And I remember leaving leaving a refuge or a checkpoint in our country, start to run down the hill, and instantly could just feel that the old injury was kind of cropping up a little bit. I'd had, the Dragon's Back had left me with compartment syndrome in my left leg and just a bit, some knackered tendon. So I was lucky to get that far, I think, without anything happening. And then every step I was taking, it was just more conscious and I could feel it coming up through the leg. So I just called it there. I thought, right, 10K to go. I'll be back in Courmayeur and I'll be back before dark. I'll be back for tea time. Let's go for pizza and a beer. And it was the best decision I made. It was great. I ran back down into Courmayeur. Bit of walking involved as well because the leg was getting a bit worse. So it did take a bit of time. And it's really technical dropping back down into Courmayeur if you ever get to do this race. But not necessarily technical. That's the wrong thing. It's very steep and lots of switchbacks. So if you haven't looked after your quads in the first 60K, then you're fucked. For want of a better word. Got back down. I'd already texted ahead and said, look, I'm going to call it a day at Courmayeur because the plan was maybe just Adam, a friend, was going to be there and see me off into the night. But met up with Charlotte, the two kids, Winter and Wilder were there, Laura and Felicity, their little one. And it was great, actually, running back into Courmayeur. I was fine. Yeah, I was knackered, obviously. It was, what, I think it took me just over 12 hours or something for 78k. So it was a cracking day out. Still got over 4,000 metres in, but it just meant that I wasn't risking further injury. If I'd have gone back out, it would have meant going back into the high mountains and kind of in the dark. And if my leg had become screwed then, I'd have been gutted. Yeah, just enjoyed the holiday then in Italy. That race and that whole series of events, the Grand Trail ones, no lottery, straight in, no ballot, really relaxed. It was amazing. I'd definitely go back there. I've actually, like yesterday, I mean, I'll explain later, but found out I'm in the TDS this year, so I won't be going to call my year. But yeah, amazing place. Definitely go back to call my year and those group of races. So if you've missed out on UTMB or the Mont Blanc marathon thing, I would say get to the Grand Trail races. So after that, yeah, a bit of chill out in Italy for probably 10 days, I think it was, something like that. The next big race for me that we penciled in was the Autumn 100, Centurion Autumn 100. It's been niggling away. Again, touched on this in another podcast, that I've not finished an exact 100 miler before in 5 attempts. I've gone over and beyond 100 miles lots of times now, 130, 140, 120, all this kind of thing in 24-hour races and other races. Anytime I'd enter a 100-mile race, I'd either DNS'd or DNF'd. So it was the monkey on my back. So that was it, Autumn 100. The idea was to give me a good 100 time, because that's what I'm kind of missing. Didn't work out that way. There is a podcast on that. Go back and listen to it if you want. But all training then turned to the Autumn 100. I think I left myself enough time there. There was, by the end of July, we were back up to 14 hours of training a week. Really consistent then. So let me count. From the end of July, 5 weeks of consistent training. Then we did the lap, which was a race in the Lake District, basically around Windermere. It was 75k, around 2,500 meters worth of climb, all runnable, apart from the odd hike. But lovely course, just they hadn't fucking marked it, basically. Again, you can listen back to that race, I think. But finished second in that one. And it was a good bit of a confidence boost that I could run again and things were going well. Nothing really went wrong in that race, from my point of view anyway. But that set me up quite well training-wise for the Autumn 100. The Autumn 100 was actually, I think, the only time in the year that I had enough of a training block to give me a good chance of putting down what I wanted. I knew that I was not really in with a chance of winning or even really top three or anything. Just the quality of runners for the 100 mile in that race was too much, but that wasn't the reason for going. Again, there's other reasons why I was doing that race. Just go back and listen to them. It didn't go to plan. So we're up to October and that was Saturday, October the 12th. Didn't go to plan. Again, learnt enough about the race and had a great time so that it wasn't kind of a write-off. It was brilliant. Overall, just wasn't my day, really. And it left me, I had a virus at the time. So the next 2 weeks again, I was out with sickness. So there's a bit of a common theme. I was getting to races, probably not giving myself enough time of a training block to do myself justice. And then it was leaving me with a little bit of an injury each time. And then this one left me with a virus, which I did not shake. I mean, I had that compartment syndrome in my leg from the dragon's back and all the mileage and the battering from the dragon's back. And I was back running within 2 weeks. This, I had 3 weeks of little to no running. I'm talking 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there. Couldn't breathe properly still. It wasn't till mid-November that I got to any consistency back. And I've kind of had that consistency since then. But yeah, it was November. First week of November actually was my first week where I didn't have a day off. I rarely have a day off. I don't plan rest days. I just have lots of easy recovery runs, whether it be with a dog or whatever. So we get to November, and the next race, I got a late entry to Tour de Helvellyn, which never done before. It's December, last Saturday of December. again, up in the Lake District. Just love spending time up there, the races up there, the kind of, it's really low key. I knew a couple of people that were racing. I just knew it'd be good crack and a great way to finish the year. Plus, if you finish it, if you put a race in your diary the last Saturday before Christmas, it's good planning because you can hammer yourself and your coach can't be giving you 3-hour runs on Christmas Day, in all honesty. So there was good planning behind that one. The training before Tour de Helvellyn went, yeah, just non-eventful. It was just getting consistency back, to be honest. Tour de Helvellyn, 58k, over 2,000 metres of elevation. Loved it, finished 9th. Could have done a bit better, but could have gone worse as well. So I was really happy with that to finish the year. It was a bit more positive, I think. That was the last race of the year. So didn't race lots. It was a frustrating year results-wise, but a good learning year, I think. Definitely progressed in areas. There's some areas that I definitely need to work on. What I just came away from, it was a massive feeling of I just need to decide what I want to do with the running-wise. I can't go from kind of to train for 10 to 12 weeks for a marathon at 2:45 pace. I need more time. You need more time, more volume to get a decent PB at that point. So I have to give myself that best chance. So we decided we're not going to do another marathon, although I would have liked to have got a marathon. And we're not going to do the flat 24, which was the original plan, because I had a shit time at the 100, the flat 100. And the plan kind of was to build up to some summer mountain races. I'm happiest in the mountains. I think I haven't explored what I can do in the mountains properly yet. So let's go and have a crack. I luckily got into Mont Blanc 90K, which is in June, I think. Same weekend as the Mont Blanc Marathon. Golden Trail Series, where all the big guns will be at. So the 90K will be great. Great experience again. And yesterday I found out I got into the TDS, which is my preferred option of the UTMB week, I think. I'll do UTMB one day, definitely. It's not that it doesn't appeal to me, it's just the TDS, especially since the course change, they've made it more technical, there's more elevation, that really appeals to me. I also like the fact that it's now starts on a Tuesday, my family can go out, we can be back before school starts. Charlotte's a teacher, so I can go on out on a Tuesday, win that, be back in time for the weekend. We've got a marathon down in on the Welsh coast. I can't remember the name of it, Dewi Sant maybe, but Welsh Coastal Path, February sometime. Then I've got the Highland Fling. No, sorry, then I've got Kielder 50K, which is the first weekend of April, the 4th, I think. So if you're at any of these races, come and give me a shout. These are all runnable races for me up until the Highland Fling in April, end of April. Can't wait to get back there, mainly for to catching up with some people. Some that I met at the last Highland Fling that I did that were out supporting it. Some that I've met since. Loads of my members that are up in Scotland. Maybe some of you lot that happen to listen to this. Highland Fling was great. I did it 2 years ago. Didn't go exactly to plan, so again, I'm looking to do better at that. Maybe 7.5 hours with a bit of luck. No idea where that'll put me, but yeah, looking for a good experience there anyway. Up in the Fling, ding ding. From there, then attention will turn to Mont Blanc 90K and the TDS. So I think that is a better structure this year than it was last year. I'm not chopping and changing too much. We're going for, there's still speed involved in these races in the first four months or so. So it's running economy, strength, converting the garage into the Run Strong gym. I live too far away from the closest gym now. It's like a 30-minute drive where I am. So there's been dribs and drabs being delivered to the house gym. Membership is VIP only. Yeah, it's on application. and does involve either bribery via cake or malt loaf or that kind of bad beef, anything like that. But yeah, so I'll be back in the gym, the house gym in the garage before long. Oh, I did, I should have mentioned this, at the Tour de Helvellyn, it turned out that I'd actually fractured a rib, so it didn't affect my racing or positioning or anything like that. I'd fallen early on, about 15k in, and the hard top of the water bottle sits on my ribs. And if anyone's met me, there's nothing on my ribs to protect it, if I'm honest. So yeah, that's been the latest struggle. I've had a few weeks of just frustration because it just wasn't healing. It took me until Boxing Day to realize, well, to go and get it checked, and yeah, it was. There is a fracture there. It's kind of just in the last week or so allowed me to train with any kind of intensity. But before then, breathing in was sore, moving around was sore, all that kind of thing. So finished the year with a broken bone in my rib, but started a lot more positively, a lot more specific. I've got no sickness or anything like that. And I'm hoping it's going to be a good start to the year. Hopefully you lot are having a good start to the year too. I know this has been a bit of a ramble of an episode, but you know, it's a bit of my therapy too. That's what I did last year. Not happy overall. Lots of good experiences, but not good performances in my own head. This year, hoping to do better. And again, it's not about winning or top three or anything like that. It's just making progress for me. Making progress as a runner in the races, making progress in the business with the Run Strong Club, giving all the members a better product and better service. And it all takes work, all takes time. If you're enjoying the podcasts up to now, please share them in your story still, subscribe, do all that. You sharing them is the quickest way to me to grow them. I'll be able to get better guests on. I'll pick allies. You're running this year, then just think, be specific. What do you want to do this year? What do you want to progress at? Do you just want experiences? Then you don't really need to worry too much about, like I was talking about, the bigger blocks and things like this. But if you want to do yourself justice, is 10 weeks training enough for a marathon or less? No, it's probably not. Is 7 or 8 weeks enough to train for the Dragon's Back specifically? No, probably not. Don't chop and change. Have a clear path. If you need help with that, go work with a coach. That kind of thing. I've got a training session to do, but I will get another episode out to you next week. It will either be Q&A or we've got some interviews lined up. If you've got any ideas yourself, get me on Instagram. That's the quickest way. Or yeah, you can get on Flakebook and send me a message or whatever. But I will hopefully speak to you all soon. Have a good weekend.